previously on Thomas and the Bible. I don't know why I bother doing this without Harley, because I'm just not good at it. It takes a real talent. And that talent is called being able to have the patience to go back and listen to the previous episode. Not something I'm able to do. It's just not a gift I have. Some people have certain gifts, and others don't. And I just don't have that gift. It's unexplainable. You can't, or inexplicable, or whatever. One of those. Can't be replicated. Thank you, Harley, for that telling introduction. Very telling. All right. I'm excited to be here, guys. Are you excited to be here? I am excited to be here because I don't have the rest of that sentence. I have the first part of the sentence, which is, I am excited to be here because, but I don't have I don't have the rest of that, unfortunately. I wish I did. But anyway, the Bible is happening and we are a part of that. So we're going to read John 3-5 today. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. That sounds like a quit smoking product. Nicodemus, give me my Nicodemus. I need my Nicodemus patch right now. I can't shake this addiction, man. I just can't. A ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh, guys, this is John 3:15. Oh, okay. So it kind of starts John. I always thought this part was in John 3:16, but it's, wow, we're at the famous John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yeah, I've always, John 3:16 is the best because people reference it like it's profound. It's amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. First off, how hard is it for God to have a son? Is that a difficult process? I mean, I have no idea. Like, is that hard? If God can do it once, he can do it a billion times, right? So it's not his only begotten Son. Doesn't really impress me that much, to be honest. And like, what does it mean that he loved the world? So he made this world where everyone sucks, which is his fault, of course. But then he's like, you know, I'm attached to it. I don't know why. I really love this world. Something about it. It's the smell of it. I just love the smell. He could just make a better world. He could just, you know, like, oh, this one was bad. Sorry, I messed up, guys. Let's make a new one. I mean, anyway, there's a million obvious things that are just ridiculous about this quote. It's weird that, but it holds such sway for people. Like, people just love it. Like, oh, he loved the world so, you don't understand. There's other worlds that God, he's okay, so-so on. Like, he doesn't love them. But for our world, he loves it so much that he gave his only son and had us kill him. But still, wait, I guess, and gave his only begotten. And that's interesting, because at this point, I've never thought about this before, but at this point in the dialogue, or the whatever, in the story, Jesus hasn't died yet. So, I mean, is this reference? Does John already know the end before it starts? You know, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, or is it just saying, I always thought it was like the sacrifice of giving his son. But if, you know, it sounds like at this point of the story, it's just, oh, he gave his son here. Like, he let his son come to earth. You know, like, so his son could have lived a happy, long and happy life, in which case it wouldn't really be a sacrifice, right? Well, it's not a sacrifice. There's no way, shape, or form that God made any sort of sacrifice. God is incapable of making a sacrifice. What could God give up? See, he's perfect. So if he gives up anything, or if anything would be a sacrifice to him, then that means he's not perfect, right? I mean, if you have something that someone could take away, is capable of taking away from you, and it makes you feel bad, I'm like, aw, that's not God. I got news for you. You're not God. It's just, oh my God. It's so obviously dumb. For God sent not his son. Yeah, I read that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yeah, why would believing in him? So he's... Guys, I got news for you. This is how much God loves us. He loves us so much, he's going to send us his son, but the son's not going to do anything. It's just, if you believe he exists, then you're fine. Like, what? How? I can't even begin... And this is all, we all know this. We all know this is ridiculous for a million reasons. It's just, it's funny to see it here in black and white, like, how dumb this entire concept is. We all, like, all we have to do is just believe in him for no reason. So what's going to really make things right for God, because we've all been so bad, we're all so sinful. What's going to make things right is that if we just believe in something that should be obvious, like, it should just exist. What's the point of God sending us someone, but then we have to believe in him? That doesn't really... It's like someone saying, okay, I gave you $500. It was at great cost to myself. I'm transferring $500 into your bank account. Okay, can you give me a receipt to prove it or something? Oh, no. I'm not going to prove it. You have to believe that I did. But if you believe that you received $500 from me, then you received $500 from me. If not, then you don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. Like, the entire thing makes no sense. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. God, count of one right there. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Yeah, that's true. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and here and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also baptizing in Anon, near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. John's like, wait, what? I was not, huh? What? Am I going, what? What do you mean? I like that way of telling. This was when John wasn't yet in prison. Hey, what? I'm going to prison? What? Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that that's not true. I could just give you $5 and then it didn't come from heaven. That'd be pretty, pretty simple test. We can test your theory, John. We can actually test it. So if I give you, and then I wonder if John would say, no, God made you give me that $5. Oh, really? So what if I punch you in the stomach? Did God make me do that? Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, oh, that's the best man. I hope John threw Jesus one hell of a bachelor party. Am I right? He probably took him to Vegas, did all the stereotypical stuff. He that standeth with him and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard and testifieth, that no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I submit to you, and this is one of those things that you can't prove. It's not like a knockdown argument. I mean, and the reason it's not, and you may disagree with me, but I really think it's not like it's a knockdown argument. It's just, it's things that make more sense. I've said this before. You can come up with an entire storyline that aliens carved the, I don't know, the anything. They made the pyramids. You can come up with an entire explanation, any fact I could give you, or like 9/11 conspiracy. That is the best example. The only good to come out of 9/11 truthers is that they are such a stark and perfect example of how idiotically wrong people can still be in this day and age. Even in this day and age. Well, you know, jet fuel can't melt steel. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. You're right. Therefore, what? Anyway, I submit to you that the thought, if you were God, put yourself in God's shoes, or Jesus or whoever, the thought that, okay, these people need to believe in you would not even occur to you. It just never, ever would occur to you. I mean, think of any time, like, I don't know, parents with kids, or try to come up with an analogy for someone who's a father figure, like a God figure, sort of, that dynamic, and you're going to go save these people. Never mind the fact you're saving them from something that you created, but never mind. You're going to come save your child, but you're not going to prove yourself. Like, you're just going to, I don't know, like you're going to punish your child for doing something wrong. But then you say, all you have to do is accept that I exist as a parent, and then you're saved. And if you reject it, I'm not going to give you any proof. But yeah, like, it just is, it's nonsensical. No one would ever, 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 ever think to do that unless maybe they weren't real, and this was the only way you could get someone to believe in something that wasn't real. That would maybe be the one. That's just off the top of my head, the one instance I could think of where this course of action would make sense. But anytime where you actually existed, it would never, ever occur to you. I submit to you that it would never occur to you to, like, give hints of your existence, but not really. And then say, you have to believe in me or else. It would never occur to you in a million years. And the reason I say it's not proof is that you can just accept. I mean, it's just what you're willing to accept. It's like what, you know, that you can come up with any explanation for anything. Well, God wants to test you, or God wants, whatever it is. Like, oh, God wants you to really believe. Like, you can come up with any reason you want, but I think it's just a question of whether you're the kind of person who can accept that answer or not. I'm the kind of person who recognizes that's an insane person's answer, and no sane person would ever do that, because I have a picture of reality. I have the ability to picture. I think I have a better picture of reality than believers, for the most part. Like, I have modeled reality in my head better than they have, and I say no one would ever do that. They can say, oh, no, someone might do that. And I can't really You know, like, I can't argue with that. If they think that a god would really do this, then it's plausible to them, you know? But there's not, I don't think you can really prove that. All right, John 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus and made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. This really is way different than the other Gospels. It's totally different, different author. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Oh, I remember this. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus is like, you know, I like the Samaritans. Let me tell you a story. I know some good Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. What? The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence can thou, then hast thou the living water? I like how Jesus just expects the people who are going to know who he is. Like, this woman should just know that this is some big shot, you know? It's like a celebrity going around being like, Give me some water. She's like, no. How about no? We're in a desert. I need my water. Jesus is like, oh, big mistake. Big mistake. If you knew who I was, if you knew half of who I was, you'd be giving me water right now. And then you'd be, then I'd give you water. I'd give you more water. She's like, what are you, there's no well, there's a well, but you have nothing to get water with. He just expects that some woman is going to know who he is. Some total stranger. It's just the weirdest thing. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman must have been like, okay, all right, buddy, all right. I don't have any change. I don't know what you want. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. So she buys into it for no reason. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. He just assumes she's married. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. I said that before I even knew that. Anyway, Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Where is this going? Yeah, what kind of response is that? Oh, go get your husband. She's like, I don't have a husband. He's like, well put. That's good on you for saying that. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor ye at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that this is just like, hey, we've written down an incredibly confusing interaction. This is something you'd try to forget. Like, this is like you're at work and a coworker's asking you something and you don't know what. And you're like, I think I know it. And then you give an answer and it's the wrong answer. And then they're like, no, what I was talking about was this. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, I don't know about that. But I think here's what I think. Like, and then someone wrote that down in a book to be worshipped. This is just a confusing conversation between two people. And then Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. There's no value in this conversation whatsoever. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. I don't know how she knew that. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out to the city, and they're like, no, he just grabbed your diary. That's all it was. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And they're like, okay, eat that. I don't care which meat you eat, but you got to eat. You're looking a little scrawny. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said, oh, this is a big mystery. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Both he that soweth and reapeth may rejoice together. And the people were like, is this a metaphor? Or is there actually food out there? Because I can never tell if Jesus is saying, oh, you need food, do you? Well, I got a food for you. And everyone's like, yeah, what? Food? I heard food. Hey, he said food. And then Jesus is like, yeah, I got your food right here. The food of everlasting salvation. And they're like, oh, God, he keeps doing that too. Okay, we get it. We get it. We get an everlasting salvation with you. We're hungry. Like, we can't just eat that. We need calories to live. And let's see. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did, that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet in court, that a prophet hath no honor in his, your honor, a prophet hath no honor in his own country. I love that. This has got to be my favorite thing. I don't know if I understand, if this is how he meant it. Whoever wrote this, not Jesus. Jesus didn't do any of this. But for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. I love this part. This is my favorite part of the Bible. It really is, because even Jesus, even this guy who's the Son of God, he's doing miracles, he's walking on water, he knows things telepathically about people. At his own hometown, it's like how your family doesn't really give a crap about you. Like you could, my family, it doesn't matter what you accomplish, your family's always like, yeah, whatever, you're you, you know? You can't really accomplish anything that impresses you. Same with Jesus. He's like, well, my own country doesn't really care. I mean, they've heard it all before. They know who I am. They're like, oh, Jesus, that loser? I went to high school with him. He was kind of a nerd back then, to be honest. You're just telling me he's the Son of God? No. Get out of here. That dude, I used to give him wedgies all the time. I pantsed him in PE. Yeah, not even that well endowed. Pretty small, actually, if you to be honest. I mean, you're telling me he's the Son of God? No. But then if he leaves his country, then everyone's like, oh, this guy's the Son of God. It's my favorite thing about the entire Bible. Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem for the feast. For also they went up unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left. He's like, my God, that's exactly what time I talked to Jesus. So the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. And he himself believed in his whole house. Then again, see, if someone could perform a miracle like that to me or to my loved one, yeah, I might believe. That's fine. It's just when you, I mean, I might believe, it just depends. If we lived in a universe where that could happen, then I would believe that we lived in a universe where that could happen. But I know that's kind of redundant, but it's true. But when I'm supposed to hear from a book that was written 100 years after the fact that this happened, I'm just not very convinced. Sorry. This again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. On to John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Oh, they ate all those Jews. That's good. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, after first hearing the troubled water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So this is a bunch of nut jobs thinking they're going to be cured by some water. So, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So he's been sitting there for 38 years, just like someday, man. I would argue that if you can live 38 years, it must not be that bad. And secondly, you've missed out now on 38 years of actually doing stuff because you think that you're going to be cured by some water. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man, he just can't get a boner or something. They answer him, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said, saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews said therefore unto him that he was cured. It was the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Oh, this is interesting. So now they're accusing, because normally we've heard this story now for the fourth time we're hearing it. Normally, Jesus does a freaking miracle where he saves someone's life or something. And then the people are like, wait, isn't it Sunday or Saturday? Wait, is it Sabbath? I never know which day it is. Oh, I just looked it up. I guess people argue about it. So it could be either Saturday or Sunday. But anyway, they were like, isn't it the Sabbath today? And they're like, yeah, Jesus just saved someone's life. Never mind the fact that he saved someone's life. So just give him a break. But no, they're like, their first thought is, you're not supposed to be working today. Hey, stop working. Not like, wow, good job. Not one of them said like, hey, high five, man. You know, like not one of them did that. They're like, is this the Sabbath, right? No, he can't do that. Kill him. But in this one, they're accusing the guy. So Jesus tells the guy to take his bed and walk. And then they're like, wait, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And by the way, this excuse doesn't normally work. I mean, it's going to work in this case because the stupid story wants you to talk, you know, the Bible wants to accuse Jesus and to go through this nonsense. But normally when you like steal something and then you say, well, that guy told me to do it. You're like, okay, buddy. Anyway, let's go. You're under arrest. Like you can't just say like, oh, he told me to. That doesn't excuse it. And he that was healed wits not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. This is just the stupidest idea. The idea that people could believe this is just unreal to me. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. But Jesus answered them. This is a good quote. Well, my Father's working, which being God. Well, hey, check God. Is he working? Well, I'm working too, man. If God's working, I'm working. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. I'm going to kill him even more. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. And he did it on the Sabbath. So that's. And answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but when he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, so even the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judged no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath him sent, or sent him. I don't know, I just made that more complicated than it was. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What? There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. So Jesus is like, oh, I can't bear my own. I can't tell you guys that I'm the Son of God, but I know that John said I am, and he's right. So how does that help? Like, does that, if you're saying that John is right, that's still bearing witness kind of yourself. Anyway, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is what that sounds like. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not at his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye shall have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? This is all incredibly circular, of course. That's the end of chapter 5. But this is all the kind of logic tricks you could play on incredibly stupid people. Well, look, I don't say I'm Jesus, but this guy says I'm Jesus, and he's right, or rather the Son of God or whatever. And he's right. And like, there's other people where they say they're Jesus or they're the Son of God and you believe them. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying God said I am. So don't trust me. Trust God. It's like the most circular, easy bullshit. Like any kid could come up with this. And then I like how he's also saying, and then Moses wrote about me. Do you not believe Moses? It's like, no, they probably just believe that Moses wasn't talking about you in particular. Like it's laughingly simple. It's hysterically easily simple to penetrate this force, this proof that we're hearing. Anyway, that's our reading for today. I want to thank you all for listening as per the usual. Thank you so much to my lovely patrons who have gone to patreon.com/TNTheB to support the show. Really appreciate it. That's why the show goes. As soon as people stop being kind and generous Well, I will just go pet my cats and not do a show. I could always be petting my cats. So that's my number one, you know, that's my number one thing is like, I could just be petting my cats right now. But because we have some lovely, wonderful people supporting the show, I guess I'd better read the Bible. And those people are John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Japan Dan, Katie, Stacey Swaney, George Green, Sarah McPike, Charles Bang Wiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, Ariberto, and Rob. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my wonderful patrons. And with that said, I will see you next week for the thrilling continuation of the Boring Bible.